As I stated earlier in my preliminary comments, that it is central to the Christian doctrine, because Paul has taken us from chapter 1 through chapter 8 and going through these various units. And now we started last week, unit 3, the implications. We saw the groundwork. He laid this groundwork meticulously. And then last week, we entered a unit entitled The Implications of the Gospel. In other words, what does the gospel then suggest for us? He says on last week that we can anticipate the process of justification, sanctification, and glorification. We touched on that a little bit, Fred. And then at the end of last week's lesson, Minister Brown was reading for us that it is God himself through the Holy Spirit. God intercedes on our behalf. And that whatever we are going through, whatever suffering that is occurring, we have an intercessor in the throne room of God that can talk to God on our behalf, who knows what we need better than we do. Now let that soak in. And then, Sister Taylor, he comes up in verse 28 and he says, because God is eminently, he is supremely involved in the salvific process. And that while we are going, we are here, you know, we got saved, we didn't die, we live here in earth. He says, now, whatever sufferings, y'all hear me now, whatever sufferings you have experienced, we know, Brother Hayes, please, tell us in verse 28 and 29 what we know.
Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
So you got all built up last week. Oh yeah, I'm suffering. I know why I'm suffering, but I have the Holy Spirit. And all I got to do is let the Holy Spirit use it. All I've got to do. And Paul says, hold up. You should know one thing if you are a child of God. All the things that you are going through, Sister Ethel, all things. Wait a minute. Y'all didn't get it. He said all things. That means the things that are good, the things that are bad, the things that are shameful, the things that are sorrowful, the things that are sinful, the things that are satanic, anything you're going through, God is actively working for your good. He didn't say everything was good. He says, Sister Frederick, that God is always working in the salvation process. That while you live, understand one thing, anything that you go through, God can use it toward his ultimate plan. And it says, then I got to looking at that. When I read that, Brother Hayes, I said, the authors have said we are more than conquerors. I want to change it to this. Why you are more than conquerors? And the answer is right there in verse 28. It starts off. It says, You want to know why you, Brother Bogan, are more than a conqueror? Fred, you want to know why you are more than a conqueror? God. Because God is actively working. When you're sleeping, God is working.
Yeah.
When you're thinking about it, God is working. When you're making a plan, God's plan is already working. God is working in all things, and he will take the thing. So if he's working in all things, he must use the things and the people to execute, to implement his plan and purpose. I see it right there. It says, he's working everything according to his purpose. In other words, you're more than a conqueror because that is the purpose of God. You're living in God's purpose, those of us who are called. And then he says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Now, some of you get scared with that. Look, this is some scary doctrine. I'm going to tell you, but it's central. It's key, Fred, because he says God works all things. And in verse 2, he says, because he knows all things. He knew. The foreknowledge there suggests an intimate relationship. And when you look at that word, predestinate, you know, we normally associate it with the cults and people that believe in predestination and, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, that's crazy. The predestinated there, it says that God had a purpose. The predestination is a plan. Predestinate, that means, Sister Hollis, God marked it out. God set the boundaries. God defined the terms of the contract. Oh, y'all don't hear me. It says, according to his purpose, which is his will, it says that no matter what you do, God's plans will not be subverted. God's will, your will, you have free will, but your will never surpass God's will. It says that God marked out, he determined, because he knew. That tells us before the foundation of the world, God knew who would get saved. Oh, look at it. Oh, wait a minute. 79, went to 74, 73, 7. Oh, they gone. They're running, y'all. Steve, go get them. God knows everything, but you don't know. What you know is that God is always working. But God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And he knew. Listen, Brother Hayes, if you would, could you read verse 29 one more time?
Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the first.
He's working out all things according to his purpose. You see what his purposes are now. His purpose for you is that while you walk this earth, God is working in all things so that he can conform you to the image of God. He can form you, conform. In other words, that word last week we saw with the suffering, we told you that it was sometimes the squeezing, the molding, the pressuring. God is trying to make you in, God is trying to make you like his son. That is the purpose of everything, of every experience that you have. God will use it for his ultimate purpose, and that's to conform you to the image of your. So, yeah, you're going to go through some things, but you can say God is always working. I'm more than a conqueror, because God knows everything. God knew in eternity past, and he knows through eternity future that he would know who would be saved, who would accept his invitation. So he marked it out. He marked them out. He set the boundaries. So in other words, it reinforces the idea again for us, you have nothing to do with your salvation. You cannot work to get saved. It's already done. How are you going to do something that's already done? Anything that you would do after it's already done, you would be undone in it. I know that's bad English, but you would be undone in it. Brother Davis had to turn off his mic. He said, I can't believe this smart man using that poor English. But God would undo anything. You would attempt to undo anything that God has already done. And that's what you do when you try to work. Brother Hayes, so we know that because God knows everything, it's already a part of his plan. He can do anything because he's conforming us so that his son, who is the firstborn, who is the first fruit, that we would be just like him. Just like he got up, we'll get up and we will be like him. That's what the word says. I see you smiling, Bogey. You got it now. The bell went off. That aha moment. I see it. All these things are working together. In other words, it's like Sister Ethel, if you were making a cake, and I would come in and I would take a handful of dirt and I throw it in your cake mix. Oh, you'd be so upset because you were making the cake. But then if you realize, you know what? That was Brother Snee. He threw some dirt in my cake mix. I know God's gonna work this thing out. I can't do nothing about it. I can't hit him, I can't shoot him, I can't do nothing. I just gotta let God work this thing out, because I need a cake today. I'm baking a cake today. Oh, I know it's simplistic, but it's right. God works in everything. You've gotta see God in everything that is happening to you. Brother Hayes, read on.
Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Who he marked out, who he singled out, who he set aside, he called them. He gave the invitation in eternity past. Y'all go to Ephesians 1. Start reading in verse 1 and just read till you get tired. And you'll see Paul says the same thing to the church at Ephesus. He says that before the foundation of the world, God knew who would accept the invitation. He marked them out. He knew it. He called them. And now he's justified them. That's some heavy implications. That's some heavy implications of the gospel. And I can imagine the ones that are in small group now, Sister Regina, you know what they're doing? They sitting out there like, well, I want to discuss this. I want to figure this out. Wait till next week's lesson. You can figure that out. Because next week, we're going to talk about what doctrine we're really talking about when we say that God predestinated, he called, and he justified. We'll tell you all about that next week. But meanwhile, we're saying that everything that you are experiencing, God is in it. He's working it out for your good. Now, he says, he called them, he justified them, and he glorified them. Now, the last time I checked, now some of y'all, I know like, Brother Davis now, highly educated, went to some of the greatest schools, leadership and all of that. Now, But I'm just a little country boy who learned fifth grade grammar. And every time I see IED or ED, that's in the past. But I thought glorification was to come. I told y'all last week, you got to watch them curveballs that I throw. Because what happens here, Paul says, we view salvation from an anthropomorphic perspective. In other words, from man's perspective. But God, how does God see it? God sees your salvation is already being completed. He sees your sanctification is already being completed. He sees your glorification as already being completed. In other words, God sees you as Jesus because his purpose was to conform you to his image. Y'all don't hear me. So then, what does all this mean? It means that from our perspective, we have a positional justification. From our perspective, we have a positional sanctification, and we will have a solidified. It will have been completed when Christ comes back. More to come on that. More to come on that. Verse 31 says, what?
Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things?
Wait a minute. What did you read, Brother Hayes? Do I need to get Sister Dorothy Taylor to read this? Because you evidently are not reading that right. Please read verse 31. I want you to read verse 31.
Verse 31. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things?
Hush your mouth. You know what Paul says? You heard what I said. Did you understand what I said? And verse 31 says, what then should you say? And you know what? I got an answer, Sister Ethel. Don't say not nary a word. And if you just got to say something, say glory to God, hallelujah. That's all you can say. Paul says, what can you say? What in the world can be said after what I've just said? That God looks at me. And when he looks at me, he doesn't see me. He sees Jesus. Read on, Brother Hayes. Let him rock. I see him rocking in their chair now. I see him rocking.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Okay. He says, the reason why you are more than conquerors is because God is on your side. And if God is on your side, it doesn't matter who's against you. You appear worried about folk that are being brought into your life, things and circumstances that come into your life that you as a conqueror should not be concerned with because God is on your side. This lesson is teaching something else. It's teaching something else. Well, although, and a matter of fact, I'll throw that in there now in case I run out of time. Brother Bogan, you know what else this lesson is teaching? Is that you're not only more than conquerors. Is that salvation is everlasting. That means that you are eternally secure. Mm-hmm. That means that you can't lose your salvation.
All right.
Oh, y'all don't hear me. Oh, another curveball, Steve, please. You know, wait a minute. I'm going to come down with a fastball in a minute here. I want you to see it. I want you to see it. He said, if God is for us, then who can be against us? We're a conqueror. In other words, you already won. There ain't nothing that the devil can throw up against you. Well, you have not already overcome it. You're going to overcomers class and you already overcome. All you need to do is get in the word of God. All you need to do is come to family church school, Wednesday night Bible study, get in your small group study, get in an evangelism process where you study the word of God on a regular and continuous basis. Then you know who you are. You are a conqueror not because of what you do or what you can do. You are more than a conqueror because of what God knows and what God can do. You are more than a conqueror because of what God knows, what God's plans are, what God's purpose is. That's why you're more than a conqueror. You've already won. He says, we're more than conquerors because it's all a part of God's purpose and plan, because he knows everything. He knows everybody. If he knows everything, he knows everybody intimately. And he knows what he needs to do for you in order for you to see him working out his purpose, his plans in your life. And because we all been made so uniquely, because we're all so different. Yeah, we may look like, oh, he got some features here, but we are different. And God knows those differences. And so he sends you a job that he conforms you to the image of God. He sends you a mate or a spouse that the whole plan for that, you thought because she was a brick house, or you thought that because he was intelligent and rich that God put y'all together. No, God put it together so that he could conform, that he could use her or him to conform you to the image of Christ. And some are so arrogant that think that they pull themselves up by their own bootstrap. God sends things, permits things that come into your life so that you have an experience with that thing that shows you what a mighty God we serve. I need thee, O Lord. I need thee every hour. I thought I was large and in charge, but only you are in charge, God. Take my life. I yield it totally to you. And you need those things, good and bad, sad and glad, blessed and bound. You need all of that because God is trying to do something in you. He's trying to conform you to the image of his son, who is the heir of all things. And he says, those who I've called, I'm now conforming to the image of the head heir, to be a joint heir with the head heir. But in order for them to enjoy the things of the kingdom, they need to be made in the image of the God-man, Jesus the Christ. Brother Hayes.
Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
See, you're more than a conqueror, because if God killed his own son, if God gave up freely his own son, his only begotten of the Father, the firstborn of all creation, if he gave him up, if he was willing to give him, you know he can freely give you all things. it ain't no prosperity gospel either. That's just a fact. That God cares so much for you, he wants to make you like Christ, and he wants to give you the things of Christ. God loves you so much that his will was, everybody runs around talking about, what is the will of God? I just want to be in the will of God. You know what the will of God is? Jesus die and men get saved. That's the will of God. That is the will of God. And so now we see that Paul makes this dramatic statement here that surely, if God was willing to give you his son, he'll give you all these other things, as Deacon Kendall would say, these things. Read on, Brother Hayes.
Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth.
So in other words, if God justified you, if God saved you, if God says you are not guilty, you have been justified, it's just as if though you never committed the crime, who can bring a charge? Can Deacon Harmon bring a charge? Oh, let's go Pastor Brown. Can the Pope? Can the president, can the potentate bring a charge? No, because God is the one that does the justification. It's not how men see me, it's how God sees me. Because it is God who has justified me. Yes, sinner, yes. Saved sinner, justified by God. Don't bring no charges up on me. You can't re-indict that which God has cleared. Brother Hayes?
Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
You are more than a conqueror because can't nobody or anything condemn you. Jesus the Christ came, and for our offense, we'll see, for our offense, for what we did, he died. And he died so that we can live. That's why he can say, there is no condemnation in he who is saved. You can't lose your salvation. I, that was a fastball, Brogan. I'm sorry. That one came right down. I had you leaning. So there is no condemnation. You can't talk about, oh, well, I backslide. Nah, you never slid in. You can't slide back if you never slid in, Steve. Am I right? So he says, who can condemn you? The answer is a resounding no. You're more than a conqueror. You're victorious because can't nobody condemn you. They can't kill you. They can't bring a charge against you. Look at verse 35. Maurice?
Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
You saw all those sufferings last week? They can't separate you from God. Not because you love God, but because God loves you. somebody better hurry up. We need to go to church this morning. because God loves us. It's not something we've done. God is actively working in our lives because he loves us. And because he loves us, there's nothing that can separate us. That means we can't be lost. In other words, those, you remember back in verse 28 through 30, those he called, those he justified, every one of them, when he says all of them, in other words, we were just using a number here. Let's say there was 100, Betty. If there's 100 that he called, that he justified, he ain't coming going home with 99. He's going home with 100. So you say you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You know that you love God. God loves you. God has saved your soul. You don't have to worry about being lost. That's the victory you've already won. That should never enter your head. That should never enter the mind of a Christian. Lord, I wonder if I'm going to make it in. I'm going to make it in. I'm a conqueror. Conquerors participate in the booty. Y'all understand that in the context of the Roman kings, mm-hmm. is that whatever was left, the spoils of war, the booty, it was divided amongst the conquerors. You're a winner. You're not a loser. And your parents, don't call your child a loser. Because you don't know. It says, God foreknew. God knows. But you don't know who's been justified. That's what we don't see. Only God sees it. Mm-hmm. Verse 36.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
Every day we experience stuff that is trials and tribulations. That's consistent throughout scripture. But the sheep that goes to the slaughter, life is ended. The Christian that goes to slaughter, the one who knows Christ, who's been justified Christ by Christ, who lives in Christ, shall never die. Mm. Cut his throat and he won't die. Now that's speaking anthropomorphically, because the word of God is clear. This physical body is appointed once to die. But to die, Paul says, is to gain when you've been justified. And yes, you are going to have hardship. There are going to be people that come against you that want to literally take your physical life. But the old song goes when one of the rhythmic sentences there is that it chilled my body, but not my soul.
Yeah.
It's akin to that. You can hurt this old body, but you can't kill the soul, because I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror, not because of what I do, but because of what Christ has already done. Verse 37.
Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What things? Regina, Dorothy Taylor, Monica Daniel, Christine Cavanis, what things? All things. All things. You got the victory. See, here's the thing. You know conquerors in history. You know, we got a master leadership graduate here. He knows that there has been many great leaders in the world, and they have conquered lands. But eventually, those lands went to someone else. you call yourself a conqueror and you couldn't keep what you conquered? God has made you a conqueror, you're victorious in all things. But Brittany, you don't understand. She left me with three hungry children and cotton in the field. You're more than a conqueror. You've overcome that. That was meant for your good. She meant it for your bad. But God's going to take you and those children, and he's going to take you to places. He's going to have those children be things. She left. He didn't compel her to leave. He didn't compel him to leave. He left you, she left you with those children so that you could be conformed in the image of Christ, so that you could be the kind of parent that God our Father is, so that you could learn the hardships, that you would take this experience and the experience wouldn't annihilate you, but instead build you up. Oh, y'all don't know how this has worked. Don't be this week. God is using all of our experiences, bad and good, just to reinforce the idea, Sister Hollis, that I'm no chump. I'm no loser. I'm a conqueror. And it's not because of what I do. It's because of whose I am. it's like you. Some of you grew up in those small towns where your mom and daddy had big names, and ain't nobody messing with you. It's not because you were big and bad. It's because they knew your mom and daddy. You had victory just because of whose you are. He said, no. Yes, we are more than conquer. These things will not conquer us. We've already conquered these things. Verse 38.
For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come.
Well, Maurice.
Condition. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
The reason why you are a conqueror is because of the power of God. Because you can't be touched. There's nothing that can separate. God loves you so much. He gave his son that you could live. And when God did that, when his son subjected himself, yielded himself to the cross, to the whip, to death and burial, and then had the audacity to get up, that made you a conqueror. God loves you so much that I want y'all to just read it for yourselves. Look at, he says, first of all, he said, death nor life will separate you. He says, no angels. He says, even if they wanted to, angels are created beings. He said, even the angels can't separate you from the love of God. He says, nor, he says, principalities. In other words, the devil, spiritual powers, miracles can't separate you from the love of God. He says, well, not things present or things in the future. In other words, if you think things are bad now and you think that things could get worse in the future, they still won't separate you from the love of God. But then he says, nor height. In other words, nor depth. You can't get so high, nor can you get so low that God separates his love from you. You can't get so high, you can't get so low, he said, nor any thing that has ever been created, person, place, or thing. Because in these past two scriptures here, he shows us the eternal security of our salvation. It says that once we are saved, because of what Christ has done, we have victory over death, hell, and the grave. That makes us more than conquerors. That makes us more than conquerors. but it's only in Christ Jesus. It's only because we can never be separated from his presence, his power. Once we have been called, the invitation has been accepted. We become alive in Christ. And Paul takes verses 28 to 39 to reiterate to us that salvation is a process. God sees it one way. We have a different perspective. He says, but when you know God, when you have an intimate relationship with God, the whole idea is that you are being conformed in the image of Christ so that you would have the relationship with God that Christ has. That will blow your mind. That will make you a conqueror. Because Christ, to be made in the image of Christ, means that I was buried with him, and that means that I will get up with him, and it means that I will reign and rule with him, because we are conquerors. That's my time. I'll see y'all next week when we talk about a very difficult subject that we just barely touched on this morning. But I want you to be prayerful, be prayed up, be studied up.